Let's turn this morning to the Gospel of Luke. Same place we were last week, Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And we're going to continue in that parable of Jesus about the rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 19. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for this interesting story that Jesus teaches to the folks there and to us. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the grave goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we meditate on your word from this parable, from this gospel, let us be able to find the truths here this morning that you want us to grow from. The truths that we need to know and understand. The truths that will make us just a little bit more like your Son, Jesus Christ. The truths that in some way will continue to set us free. May the words that I speak this morning, Lord, be pleasing to you. May I say what it is that we all need to hear this morning. To you be the glory, and I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, this has been a wonderful sermon series we've had so far on the parables of Jesus. And today is part two of the final parable that we're going to cover. This parable here about the rich man and Lazarus. And we're going to conclude this parable and this series next Sunday, I think. Maybe we'll go two more. Who knows? The two characters in this story are the rich man, and he has no name, and Lazarus, the poor man. He does have a name. Last week we said that there was a reversal. The title of the sermon last week was Into Eternity, the reversal. Each man received in eternity after they died. What they received was a reversal from what they received in life before they died. What do we know from the story? We know this. The rich man is in hell. So we ended last week by asking this question: where did the rich man go wrong? Where did he go wrong? And we also went back to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, and said that there's going to be people going into eternity, knocking on heaven's door, so to speak, and Jesus is going to say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Where did they go wrong? Because the Bible says they prophesied in the name of Jesus and cast out demons in the name of Jesus and did miracles in the name of Jesus. But they're turned down. Why? Where did they go wrong? And today we're going to answer that question. Today I want to focus on the reason this rich man found himself spending eternity in hell. If you were to ask the average person on the street why a deceased person may be spending eternity in heaven, or why that deceased person might be spending eternity in hell, I would bet, and I'm not a betting man, but I would certainly wage money on this, that most people would not give the correct theological or biblical answer to that question. So today, to answer our question about this rich man, I want to include some possible answers why the man on the street may think that this rich man is in hell. If they read the story and had to make a determination from what they knew, what would they say? And I'll sum this up right now. The four fill-in-the-blanks that we have in our bulletin, none of them are going to be the correct answers. But we need to go over answers that are not true so we can identify the answer that is true. So let's go through these. The first reason, his label. It begins with the letter L. I wish I could have thought of a better word, but I couldn't. So we'll call it his label. There are those people who think they're going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell, or someone else is going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell, because of how they are labeled. And let me give you a very, very common example of this. Some people today think that they are going to heaven because they are Baptists. That is the label that they associate with. Or they think they're going to heaven because they're Presbyterian, or because they're Catholic, or because they're United Methodist, or because they're this, or because they're that, or because they're like us, non-denominational. They are convinced in their own mind that a religious or church affiliation alone earns them the right to go to heaven. Did you ever ask a person a question, "Are you a Christian?" And their reply is, "I'm a Baptist." That was not the question that was asked. The Jews in Jesus' time, they thought the same way. In John chapter 8, verses 31 through 47, the Jews are crediting their own righteousness on the fact of one thing. We are children of Abraham. In other words, they're saying this: I am a Jew, so I am okay. The Apostle Paul once thought that same way before his conversion. And if you want to read about that, go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 through 11, and read about his testimony of where he says, "I was this, and I was this, and I was this." All these labels he gave himself. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin. And later in that same testimony, he says this: "I consider them all rubbish." Some Bibles use a different term. Paul realized that his label was not going to get him to heaven. So what about this rich man? What was his label? Maybe his label was this. Maybe he was a Gentile. Maybe that was it. And all the Jews at that time believed that all Gentiles went to hell, because the only people going to heaven are certainly the Jewish people. But that wouldn't be the case. We know this in verse number 24. The rich man looks over to Abraham and he calls him what? Father Abraham. He calls him Father Abraham. The only person who would ever call Abraham Father Abraham would be a Jew. So this rich man, we know, is a Jew. And I'm sure the Pharisees who are listening to this parable, they're starting to get confused. Because they're asking themselves, no, wait a second. This man is a Jew and he is in hell? No, wait a second, Jesus. You must have this story backwards. You have something wrong about this story. And as I said last week, I assure you, Jesus never has anything wrong about any of his parables. So our labels, such as these, do not include or exclude any person from heaven or from hell. I guarantee some church-going Baptists are going to make it to heaven, and some won't. Number two, okay, it wasn't his label. Maybe it was his wealth. That was it. That is where the rich man went wrong. Perhaps it was this man's wealth that sent him straight to hell. After all, if we look at some faiths like Catholicism, one of the things that they do, they take a vow of poverty. Did you know that nuns and priests take a vow of poverty, that they cannot have wealth or riches of any sort in their life? After all, you can't have loads of money and possessions and still go to heaven, can you? And doesn't Jesus teach how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? And we know this too. Money is the root of what? All kinds of evil. So, it must have been this man's money, his wealth, that was this man's downfall. Nice try, but I don't think that is the specific reason this rich man is spending eternity in hell. Well, one reason is Jesus really never says that in the story. So his wealth is obviously not an issue. And we also know this about wealth. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, the Bible tells us that there was a certain person who was very, very wealthy. Who was that person from Genesis 13:2? It was Abraham. Abraham was a very wealthy man. And according to the story, we know where he is at. He represents heaven in this parable. So we know he is in heaven. So the rich can make it to heaven. Ecclesiastes 5:19 says this. This is an interesting verse. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift from God. God does and he will bless some people financially. So our wealth does not include or exclude us from going to heaven or going to hell. I guarantee some wealthy people make it to heaven, and some don't. So it wasn't his label, and it wasn't his wealth. Maybe it was number three. Maybe it was his gross sin. And I used that word gross in there for a specific reason. Maybe it was his gross sin. And I want to make a difference between this one and the next fill in the blank. Perhaps, this must be it. Perhaps sometime in this man's life, he must have committed a very bad and gross sin or sins. Something that the Bible would call an abomination. There are those people today who believe that the only sins that send anybody to hell are the really, really gross ones. Murder and rape and adultery and serial killers and child molesters and people like that. They have a list of sins, and they place their level of grossness on the sins with something like gossip. Well, gossip's here towards the bottom because that's not bad at all. And other things like child molestation. That's right here at the top. You don't get any more gross than that. So then they have their list and they have their labels on these lists. And then they do a comparison. And they say this, well, my sins are not as bad as your sins. And then they look at the people in jail and other places and they say this, well, you murder and you rape and you commit adultery, etc., etc. And I'm certainly not that bad. So you must be going to hell because of what you've done, and I must be going to heaven because I didn't do those things. Because the grossness of our sins is certainly not in the same category. It's the way a lot of people think. So what about this rich man? Well, again, Jesus never says that he had any type of gross sin that sent him there. And we do know this as Christians, as believers today. With the right heart condition of confession and repentance, any person's sins can be forgiven. Amen? Amen? Even the grossest of the gross. Praise God for forgiveness. Remember the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 before the Damascus Road experience? What was he doing before that time? He was killing Christians. So, and we know about the Apostle Paul. So even though a person's gross sins, they do have the potential to send a person to hell, I don't think that's the case here. It wasn't his gross sin. How about the last one? Let's take another stab at this. Okay, it wasn't his label. It wasn't his wealth. Maybe it wasn't his gross sin. I know what it's got to be because it's written here. It was his selfishness. It's got to be his selfishness. How do I know that? Well, it looks like this rich man had the opportunity to give everything to Lazarus, and he gave nothing to Lazarus. This rich man was selfish, and he was greedy. As Christians today, we would all agree with Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Wages of sin is death. Any and every sin, regardless of where it is on your scale, carries with it a spiritual death sentence. And that would certainly include the sin of selfishness. Maybe we're getting a little closer to our answer right here. But was it, let's think about this, was it this particular sin that sent the rich man to hell? As I just said, I assure you that it was sin that sent this rich man to hell. I guarantee that. It's always sin that sends anybody to hell. Amen? That's what gets us there. But I think it would be safe to say that there are just as many selfish Christians in heaven right now as there are unbelievers in hell. Did I say that right? I can be selfish. I bet you can be selfish too. But I'm going to heaven. And I think you are too. Matter of fact, I know some of you are. But we can be selfish, can't we? We can be selfish, even as Christians. So if it's not his label, if it's not his wealth, if it's not his gross sin, and it's not his selfishness, we do know that it's a sin. Where did the rich man go wrong? Is there something in the story that gives us this answer? Where do the people that are in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 go wrong? If we want to know where the rich man went wrong, it wasn't so much what he did, it is what he failed to do. And that answer is plain as day right here in the scripture text. The answer is found in verse number 29. We can conclude we really don't know what he did, what sins he committed, but we do know what he failed to do. Verse 29, Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." Here's our learning lesson for the day. Where the rich man went wrong, and where the people in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, go wrong, and where all the people who are presently perishing in hell go wrong, is that they have the words of eternal life right here in front of them, and they choose to ignore them. Let me say that again. Where the rich man went wrong, and where the people in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 go wrong, and where everyone else who is burning in hell right now goes wrong, is that they have the words of eternal life right here. But they choose to ignore them. I don't want to get into all the different theology about how people in the Old Testament got saved. We know us New Testament people, we have to believe in Jesus, and we know all that. But I assure you, people in the Old Testament got saved, and they could get saved, and they did get saved. Back in the Old Testament, with the proper knowledge, with the proper faith, and with the proper repentance, anybody in the Old Testament could get saved. There was enough truth back then that they could be saved. Remember the story of Nineveh? We spent about 8 weeks in the book of Jonah. Jonah went to Nineveh, and he did what? He took a stroll through the city, 3 days. And what did he do? He preached repentance. What did the people do? They repented. And what does Jesus say about the people from Nineveh? They got saved. People in the Old Testament could certainly be saved. The minor prophet Habakkuk tells us that the righteous will live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Genesis 15, chapter 15, verse 6, tells us that Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Hey, even the rich man here in our story, he knows enough that repentance was required to be saved. We can see that in verse number 30. If we were to go forward about 8 chapters to Luke chapter 24, and you don't have to turn there, it's a great story. You need to read this. The story of Jesus in verses 13 through 35. Jesus has taken a walk to Emmaus. He has just risen from the dead, and he's taken a walk, and he meets up with two guys, Cleopas and another man who's unnamed, and they take a walk, and they're walking to Emmaus. And these two men, Cleopas and his friend, they're amazed at what has just happened back in Jerusalem. That this man, Jesus of Nazareth, should have been proclaiming to be the Messiah, was killed. And there's a lot of things they couldn't understand about that, all those events. And verse 27 of chapter 24 says this, "And beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." All scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testaments, they all speak of Christ. They all point us to Christ. This rich man here, he had a sin problem, but he refused to follow Moses and the prophets, because Moses and the prophets was the solution to his problem. And all of us in here today, we all have a sin problem too. And the only solution to that problem is found right here, a continuation of Moses and the law and the prophets. We have the Word of God. So the question has got to be this. If the solution is in here, Have you followed that solution to your problem? Praise the Lord that somebody told me at one point in time I had a problem. And herein lies the solution. It was found in the words of this book. It was found on the cross. I assure you, Beech Grove, that there are no man-made solutions to the sin problem that we all have. There are no man-made traditions that are able to solve the problem that will condemn us to an eternity in hell. We all have a problem. And I know many of you, if not most of you, you've already solved that problem, haven't you? You found the solution, haven't you? The solution is found in the Word of God through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you haven't found the solution to your problem, the solution's right here. And I'd be more than happy to talk to you about it. Last week, we looked at the reversal of this rich man's fate. What he had in life, he did not have after death. Today, we looked at the reason for this rich man's fate and where he went wrong. He had the solution right there in front of him. Moses and the law and the prophets. And he never looked there. Never took it to heart. Next week, we're going to look at the reality about hell and eternal punishment and damnation. It's not a subject that a lot of people want to hear, but it's a subject that we really need to preach, and we all do need to hear. Let's go to God in prayer.